This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. An investigation by the Associated Press says Governor Pat McCrory failed to properly disclose some of his dealings with a licensed mortgage broker in North Carolina. The governor was a board member of Tree.com, the parent of the website LendingTree, when he took office. Now, the report says McCrory did not properly fill out the financial statements that would have suggested a conflict of interest. Governor McCrory quickly denied the story. He said yesterday it is riddled with errors and written with malice, and his office released a point-by-point rebuttal. We invited the governor or one of his representatives on the show today. They declined. We will hear some written statements shortly. Here to talk about the governor's financial holdings is Michael Biesecker. He's an Associated Press reporter who helped write the story. Welcome back, Michael.
Frank, thanks for having me on again.
So talk about this now. It is a statement of economic interest that we're dealing with here. And there are let's talk about the governor's financial associations, his business associations. You say they're missing from the proper place on this report. Tell us more about that.
Well, you know, we found out through documents from the Securities and Exchange Commission that Governor McCrory had stayed on the board of Tree.com, which, you know, was well known that he was a board member prior to his inauguration. I think most people thought he was resigning as from corporate boards before taking office. But in fact, he stayed on. He stayed on till the end of January 2013. Following his inauguration, I believe, on the 5th. And there's a question raised of why he did that. On January 30th, after he took office, there was a sort of unusual stock transaction where, as a board member, the governor had been given more than 10,000 restricted stock units. These are special shares reserved for company directors and top executives that are essentially a form of retention bonus. If you stay on the board for this long, we give you this stock as a reward. And in McCrory's case, because he was resigning after taking office, he resigned January 31st, he would have lost those stock options. They're not stock options. He would have lost that stock. Essentially, the shares would have been worthless with his resignation. Instead, for the first time, best we could tell in the company's history, they voted to grant him those options early. In some cases, the options wouldn't have vested, the shares wouldn't have vested for another 16 months. And essentially, after his election, while he was in office, Governor McCrory got those shares. Then he got two subsequent cash payments, one a special dividend paid to directors, and then a director's fee for remaining on the board for the month of January.
All right. So these fees, these kind of payouts, are not unheard of. You talked to a number of experts. So did we. We talked to some experts. We can name them here and tell you what they said. But essentially what they said was, it is not unheard of. It is fairly unusual. I think we had John Graham who said we'll find out. John Graham, who we talked to earlier, said maybe 10 to 20% of the time this happens. So we have evidence that it doesn't happen often, but it does happen. It's not unheard of, right?
It's not unheard of in the corporate world. You know, increasingly restricted stock units known as RSUs are used as a form of bonus for corporate directors. What the experts we talked to said was unusual here is that they were given vested early to an elected official after winning election. And a former SEC official, former federal prosecutor we talked to, said that raised some red flags. Raised what was the business reason? What was the reason shareholders would have benefited from giving Governor McCrory these stock shares early if he was not going to stay on the board until they vested, which was the whole point of giving him the shares in the first place? And what that business reason, what was discussed among the board members, may be an issue that will come up at some further date. We have asked Tree.com for the minutes to those board meetings. They've declined to provide them.
All right. And we talked to John Graham at Duke's Fuqua School and Tom Hazen at UNC Chapel Hill's Law School, and both confirmed that it's a practice that's rare, but not impossible. So those are names. You talked to people as well. The question is it on the documentation? Did he tell us about it?
Well, the governor's defense has been that there's two separate issues. On his 2012 forms, which he would have filled out in April of 2013, and filed in April of 2013, you know, essentially a statement of economic interest is the mechanism that taxpayers, people who watch government officials and look for conflicts of interest, we rely on these forms to know who is giving our elected officials money, who is giving campaign candidates' money. And so these forums are key to us understanding our democracy and understanding what potential interest an elected official might have. On the 2012 form, which would have been filled out as of the last day of that year, there's a question. I have it before me here. List the name of each business with which you are associated, you or a member of your immediate family as an employee, director, officer, partner, proprietor, member, and manager. Now, we know that from SEC documents at the end of 2012, Governor McCrory was still very much on the board of Tree.com. On that question, he checked no business associations. On the following question, it asked if that company or entity has any material dealings or contracts with the state. That's a question that would be meant to show whether you have a potential conflict of interest. Governor McCrory left that blank, despite the fact that Tree.com is regulated by the State Banking Commission as a mortgage broker. On his 2013 form, you get into the question of whether he disclosed the income from Tree.com. The governor's contention is that all he had to disclose was that he owned more than $10,000 in stock in the company, which people typically, you know, have investments of various types with stocks, mutual funds, and they disclose those. What he says he was not required to disclose was either the details of the stock transaction, which he received the early vesting of the restricted shares, or the dividends, or the special dividend that was paid only to directors. The question on that point reads, do you, your members of your immediate family, hold I'm sorry, I read the wrong question. It basically asks if you received income of more than $5,000. Mm-hmm. It lists specific types of income. It lists dividends. It lists fees. On that form, Governor McCrory left it blank. He did not list Tree.com as a source of income. His claim is that he wasn't required to, under a couple words in state law that they're interpreting to say he didn't have to list the company twice after listing the stock ownership.
So he had as a blanket, yes, I've got this much, more than $10,000. But where it asks for the specifics, he left it blank, saying, well, I kind of answered that over there.
And that's their contention. And there's differing views on whether they're properly interpreting the law.
And the state elections, the body that oversees these reports has said it is a little bit confusing. And in fact, they're going to revise the language on this.
After the governor raised this issue before with disclosing a sale of Duke Energy stock in the wake of the coal ash spill and Dan River last February, they are going through. And even though the law is very clear about you're reporting for the prior year, they're going to go through on some of these questions and put the date December 31st. Yeah. So it makes it extra clear.
Because it's like filling out your tax form. You're sitting there in 2015. You know this is about 2014. It's not about today. Mm-hmm. It's about last year. And it's all over the document. So, okay. But the governor says, well, I was talking about today. I didn't mean the year for which this document says it's for. Talk about that. Here's a quote from the governor. We have a written statement. Quote, Governor McCrory properly filled out his ethics statement as required by law. That source of income was previously listed in another part of the 2014 SEI form. Therefore, the form is in compliance with the State Ethics Act. Unquote. The governor answered the question correctly. This is about his associations. As it was plainly written, the State Ethics Commission recognized that the form needed to be changed and voted at last commission meeting to rephrase the question for the 2015 SEI form. But the fact is, when they asked if you had an association, and he did, it's not filled in. It is blank. And he was on the board in 2012. When it says, do you have an association?
That's
it
correct.
Is blank. By the way, all this stuff is public record, so you can see it. It's our website. It's your website. Public record. So let's talk a little bit about Tree.com. This is the company on which the governor served, and they have had to make a cash settlement in South Carolina. Tell us about Tree.com and their business model.
Well, I think most people would be familiar with the website LendingTree, or if not, has probably seen their advertising. Essentially, what they say is, come to our website, we'll run your credit score, and we will go out and shop for you. We will find, if you're wanting to buy a home, we will find the best deal on a mortgage from various companies. We will come back to you with mortgage offers, getting you the very best deal. And that's the service they provide as a mortgage broker. South Carolina officials filed suit against Tree.com, saying that they were failing to disclose to those customers that they were also accepting payments from the companies they were recommending. Essentially, mortgage companies would pay Tree.com to recommend them to their customers. And so the question comes, well, are they giving you the best deal, or are they giving you the best deal from the people who paid them to give you your information? And so Tree.com, without an admission of wrongdoing in 2012 when Governor McCrory was on that board, settled that case, agreeing to pay $3 million, changed some of its business practices. But as is often the case in these settlements, they didn't acknowledge any wrongdoing.
Other states have also sued?
They have not sued. Based on what we understand, and the only public disclosure of this is a recent SEC filing from Tree.com itself, the company is required to disclose to shareholders any material facts that may bear on the company's future profitability. They disclose that they are in talks about a consent agreement with the state of Massachusetts, presumably over separate issues. I think the exact wording is alleged violations of state and federal law. According to Tree.com's filings, up to 34 other states may also enter into that consent agreement. There is a separate disclosure involving the Federal Trade Commission, which apparently has also requested information from Tree.com. There, Tree says no specific wrongdoing by the company is yet alleged. We just know that the feds are looking at some of those questions as well.
All right, Michael. So you have been accused of maliciously misstating the facts. We've got about 30 seconds left. Where does the AP stand on the story?
All I can say on that, rather than going through them point by point, is that editors far, far above my pay grade have gone through each of those questions. We're standing by the story. We're not making any changes, retractions, or corrections. And I work with some of the best editors in the business. They know what they're doing.
Michael Biesecker, a reporter for the Associated Press. Just ahead, the rediscovered music of an unsung banjo hero on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.